on May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
Apes hunt humans. That is wrong.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10th. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 Bacon Bundle. Because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the Bacon Cheese Slider, 1921 Bacon Cheese Slider, or Chicken Bacon Ranch Slider. And also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 Bacon Bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.
Hi, everybody. Andy Richter here again. Another episode of my mom's favorite podcast. It's the Three Questions. And today I am talking to somebody that we have all been loving her work for years and years. And we just spoke in the sort of preamble here that the last time we saw each other was maybe 25 years ago.
I was going to say 30.
Maybe 30 years ago, yeah.
But I could be wrong.
But yeah, because I do remember meeting you, and it was very much, this is a teenager that's coming on our talk show. So
here's an obnoxious teen. Be really nice to her. Pretend she's not saying dumb stuff.
No, you did. I mean, I think you're charming no matter what. But I have to, I have to say stuff like that because I'm a podcaster and I'm desperate for guests. I'm talking to Christina Ricci, and I'm very happy to, because I really, honestly, you are one of my favorite actors. I really,
you've
taken like kid stuff and made really good, interesting choices, and really continue to do interesting work. And, you know, the recent one, Yellow Jackets, is so fantastic and so good.
It's really a fun show.
It's fantastic. And I do think it's like really cool that a creepy, scary show that's kind of gross and terrifying, it's all women.
Yeah.
Like it's all, you know, I even noticed like most of the music is women. Most of the incidental music is from female bands. So
yeah, I mean, that was one of the things that I was so excited about. It's that, you know, this show, women are taking the space that men usually occupy in this genre and all of it. And it's really fun to get to not be treated with kid gloves.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, right off the bat, I just love character actors. And you've gotten to become a character actor now. I mean,
yes,
you don't,
now that I'm older, I'm allowed.
Yeah. But I mean,
I'm so thrilled.
Yeah.
But it was a thing that when actresses my age were younger, we were like, people were terrified that we would fall into character actress territory. Like it was, oh no.
You mean like your reps or something?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
You can't take that part of the murderer or the, you're
gonna,
you know,
make yourself ugly again. People might not like you that stuff. And I've always been sort of at my heart, a very obnoxious, rebellious teen. And I always wanted to do those things. I wanted to play the person that everybody would hate. You know, I think it's a stunted maturity issue, but
it's also fun.
It's also really fun.
Pursuit of fun, you know?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And it is like, it's fun to play the part that everyone's afraid of.
Yeah. Well, now you mentioned what kind of teen you were. You were born in California, but you did not grow up there, correct?
No, I moved to the East Coast when I was two, and I was raised in Long Island, and then New Jersey, and then finally Manhattan.
And you is it three siblings? I can't remember.
I have three older siblings.
Older siblings. So you were the baby. So did you get the benefit of being the baby, sort of?
I did. I mean, the only reason I'm an actress really is because I'm the youngest child. Every single one of my siblings was approached and I guess scouted, for lack of a better word, But my mom always said no.
Wow.
Well, we all looked a lot alike.
Oh.
And we were all really verbal.
Yeah, yeah.
So it was basically like you have four shots with the same child, basically.
I see, I see. Tiny, big and eyes, and talks a lot.
Yeah, yeah, pretty much. Yeah. I would like talk to any adults, and we could all read really early, so that was good. So my mom always said no. And then because my siblings were so much older than me, when it was my turn, they kind of bullied her into letting me try it. So I definitely benefited from being the baby.
How much age is between you and the next oldest? How many years?
My oldest brother is 9 years older than me. And then, oh no, it goes, sorry, 8, 6, and then 4.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So they were sort of,
yeah,
by the time you're doing, and what age did you start auditioning?
When I was 7.
When you were 7.
So my oldest brother was already 15. So he really, yeah.
And let's cut to the chase. Would you let your children do it?
No, not professionally.
Yeah.
I think that children should get to be kids. And, you know, you nurture those things they're interested in and those talents they have. And then when they're adults and they're ready in other ways that we need to be prepared to be professionals, then great.
Yeah.
They can go. But I just think that there's like the whole idea of being a part of a production, no individual is more important than the production.
Mm-hmm.
I think children should feel like their well-being and their emotions and who they are always the most important thing. And then later you can decide to say, well, for the period of this work day, I'm not the most important
right.
thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah,
but
yeah.
I think you have to, there's a missing step if you don't ever get that.
I think that's very perceptive because yeah, it's like, you know, it's really drummed into your head to do as you're told on a, you know, and
yes.
to like, you know,
your feelings are not important.
Yeah, hours are long, too bad.
Later.
Yeah. We yes. we're all suffering, you know,
yeah.
and we're suffering because we get to work in the dream factory.
Exactly.
But I remember I started out and I went to film school in Chicago and started as a production assistant. And I remember at lunch once, this very sort of sardonic woman who was a script supervisor, and she became one of my favorite work friends, said, I was just talking about film production. She goes, everyone in this business is completely codependent. They're so happy to let someone else be in control of their lives. They're so happy to not have to worry about their relationships or what to do with themselves or how to feel or what to think. She goes, they just submit. She goes, and she's like, yeah, that's me, you know. So, you know, I was, like I say, I was brand new, and I was kind of like, oh, wow, okay, I guess
yeah.
I'll file that away.
Yeah, no, and I was like that forever. I was so happy to have somebody tell me when to wake up, when I was allowed to eat, when I would be allowed to go home, how much time I had to sleep. You know,
yeah.
I loved that. Everyone used to joke that I would be such a good prisoner.
what a funny joke to say about a kid.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Well, and now, do you like the way that you're, because it was mostly your mom, right? Your dad wasn't, yeah. Did you like the way that you're, looking back, do you think she handled your working well?
Yes.
Yeah.
My mother handled that really well. She was one of the reasons that I was actually hired a lot, is because when you're a kid, they always look at the mother.
Mm.
And you'll lose a job if you have a difficult parent.
Yes,
and my
yes.
mother was always like, I always joke that she was, you know, she was my coworker, you know, and we traveled together. We went to hotels and restaurants. We went to work. We had like the funniest experience because she was she's warm, but she's much more of like a waspy, funny sense of humor kind of lady. So like when I had to do the press photo op in Australia where they handed me the kangaroo when I was 13, she whispered in my ear, oh my God. Kangaroos are so aggressive and nasty, and they all have chlamydia. Good luck. And ran away.
And they all have chlamydia.
And then, like,
where did she
ran
learn?
Away, and they were like, smile, Christina. I was like, oh, my gosh. But I was also dying laughing because I knew that she was being funny.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, yeah.
We just always had that thing. So, yeah, I spent most of my time with my mom.
Yeah, that's...
Making fun of stuff.
That's great. That's great. And it is true because... You reminded me of one of my favorite showbiz stories that a friend told me, a writer friend told me. It was a drama, and there was a kid on the show whose mother was driving the showrunner crazy. And he came in from a meeting about the mother with the mother, and he came through the door and shut the door of the writer's room and said, we got to kill that fucking kid. And so they literally did. They had the kid die. Like, there was no plan to have the kid die in the show, but like, okay, next episode, kid dies.
Oh, which, my God. I mean, poor kid.
Yeah, I know, the poor kid. But, and I wonder if the, like, if that ever, like, that information ever trickles out to the mother, because, yeah.
Yeah.
It would be tough.
Yeah, for sure.
Were you always on board with acting? Like, did you always kind of?
I was.
Yeah.
I was really bored at school and doing weird things. And the second I started even just going and auditioning every afternoon, I stopped all, like, aberrant behavior and liked
focused. Yeah.
Yeah. I, like, had a skill and something to feel good about. And I was busy in the afternoon, you know.
Yeah.
So I always really, really liked it. And then when I went away to do movies, it was like always being lifted out of my miserable suburban life and all this magic.
Yeah. Yeah.
was there for me.
Yeah. Staying in hotels and room service. And, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Perrier. I had never seen Perrier before.
Wow.
I was like, wow, these people are drinking this like magic sparkle water. What's happening?
When was the, what was your, the was the first big job?
Mermaids.
It was Mermaids, right. And were you aware of, like, the, you know, the gravity of your co-stars in other
Well, that's
terms?
The other thing my mother was really good at. My mother was really loved movies. My dad also, but my mother loved film. And she showed me, like, all the Hitchcock movies when I was really little. And then the second she knew I was auditioning for something with Cher, we had a Cher movie marathon.
Mm-hmm.
She even had Come Back to the Five and Dime, Jimmy Dean. Yeah. So I did know by the time I went to my final audition with Cher and Winona Ryder, I knew who Cher was for sure.
And was Cher, did Cher ever do any, like, diva stuff because you were getting all the attention being a cute little girl on the set?
No, diva stuff is absolutely, like, so far from what Cher is like.
Yeah.
Cher was amazing.
Yeah.
Cher was incredible.
I've heard that she's really fun and just cool.
Just like a practical person.
Yeah.
Is always like, what is happening here? Like, why are we ignoring logic?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Like, that kind of human being.
Right.
Was so kind to me. Was so generous with me. Immediately, like, spent all of her time with me on set. I would go in her trailer to hide from my teacher. And she would just, like, she just taught me stuff.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Anything.
Yeah.
Everything that was going on set. She'd be like, oh, that's what this is. No, that's this. And, like, it was amazing.
Oh, that's great. That's,
it was incredible.
That's what you want out of your Shares.
Yes.
Yeah.
She really lives up to expectations, I have to say.
And, did that change your life a lot? I mean, just in terms of, like, your everyday. I mean, obviously, you're going to a junket and there's a premiere. But beyond that, I mean, do you feel it? Do you feel like...
I did. I felt immediately, I think that when you expose people to all kinds of possibilities in the world, right?
Yeah.
You know, I came from this suburban, kind of depressing, dysfunctional, not nice family life. And then I was exposed to this other world. And the way people behaved was different, you know, mm-hmm. Just everything
with
was just a little
to
bit
to each other, kind of
kindness.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, there were all kinds of different people and everybody was just really respectful to each other and focused on one thing. And there was this like aspirational feeling that I felt around being on those sets. It actually made it okay for me to go back home because I felt like I had this knowledge that there was something else. And so I could go back home and I could go to school and be a normal child, but I no longer was like misbehaving or any of that stuff because I knew there was more.
Yeah.
And I would be leaving to go there soon.
Wow. That's nice.
Yeah. So it did change even like my mental and emotional state at the time through my childhood,
yeah.
I think. This knowledge that there was another world to be in.
Now, first of all, like to say, like, it's just funny to hear like someone, I'm doing air quotes, child star, say, you know, that like going into the film world, you know, took me into an area of mental health. Like, you know, like it's so opposite the cliche of it.
I know, but some things are ways for people to escape.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and I think that was one of the reasons I was so successful as a child, because I knew if I was really good all the time, I would get to go away.
It's and it so to me resonates to like just there's something other than this. You know, like when you're a little kid and you eat from an early age, you know, like this is not good. Like mm-hmm. I look around me and this is not good. And I can't wait to get out of here, you know?
Yeah. And if you can show that child what is out there waiting for them,
mm-hmm.
There's a lot less for me, there was just so much less darkness.
On May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere. This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
Apes hunt humans. That is wrong.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Love the flexibility of working in all sorts of places? Well, working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network like T-Mobile. We have America's largest 5G network, so whether you're on a video call at the park or uploading large files at the coffee shop, we have the 5G speed you need. Whatever takes you on the go, T-Mobile's got you covered. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/network today.
Coverage not available in some areas. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.
Can't you tell my love's a grown? Now, when you start getting into your teen years, I mean, you're not getting a normal
Then, of course, yeah, things do change as people change. And that is why it's best for adults to enter, people who have already fully formed and aren't going to, like, change drastically in the way that they take things in, I guess. But yeah, when I was a teenager, I was not great with, you know, being looked at, judged, famous. Yeah. You know, I didn't feel like I wanted to be photographed ever.
That's pretty standard teen stuff. I mean,
exactly.
I've talked about my daughter. There was an age, and I don't, it was maybe around 13, I think, or something, where it just became like, tell the whole entire world, don't look at me. I don't want to be looked at. And then, you know, she's kind of coming out. She's 16 now. She's sort of coming the other, going to be 17 soon. It's coming out the other side of that. But there definitely was like, and the way that she, you know, the way that she dressed changed, you know, just like lots of very boxy, you know, all of a sudden could wear my clothes, which was like, you can't really, but okay, you know, take that sweatshirt if you want to.
I called my style garbage pail kid style, and it was intentionally mismatched and oversized and dingy. But this is the 90s when grunge was okay. But yeah, I would like intentionally covered everything and looked like crap, basically, because I so didn't want any attention, positive or negative.
And how did the people around you deal with that? Did they just have to put up with it?
Yeah, I mean, we did. They did the best to try to to work with me and change me. And, you know, I think over time I did learn to be a better press soldier.
Yeah.
But, you know, at the time I was just like a teen and I was like a feral creature. So there wasn't a lot of controlling me.
Yeah. Now, when you get into your teens and your young adulthood, are you always, you know, does your faith in this career that you've chosen ever waver? Do you sort of?
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Yeah.
I like to watch Life Below Zero, you know, the Alaska show.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, why do I love to watch this show so much? And it's because I know now that if everything falls to shit, I can go live in Alaska. I was like, why does this show make me feel so safe? And it's that. That is what it is. So I've always had feelings of like, I don't know how much longer this is going to be good for. And you know, and I had great periods of time when I didn't work and I couldn't work or the work I took was not great.
Yeah.
And I wasn't that proud of it, but I had to keep supporting myself. And
did you ever consider doing something else? Like for real kind of, or just,
well, I made that mistake of not, of deciding that I didn't need to go to college because I was already on my way to becoming a big movie star.
Yeah, right.
So kind of after that I was screwed, you know, it's like, I had put all my money down on one horse.
Yeah, that's true. I was just talking yesterday to Jeanette McCurdy. Do you know her?
Oh, yeah.
She was on iCarly. She played Sam on iCarly. And
I never saw iCarly because I'm too young, too old for it.
Yeah.
I wish I was too young for it. I'm too old for it.
Yeah. I'm old enough that I saw it with a child. Like I, you know, I saw every episode because a child was watching it actually was pretty good, but she had a similar kind of thing where she kind of got through child stardom and then, you know, was like, I kind of missed the boat at college, you know? And I was like, well, you could go back. And she's like, nah. And I understand that too, like the notion of going back. Because I'll sometimes get in a mood and I'll be like, maybe I'll go back to school and become a therapist or something. And then I think, yeah, right. With your attention span, you're not going to be reading textbooks.
Yeah, I was a terrible student.
Yeah.
No, I only did the work I enjoyed as a child.
Yeah,
I was a horrible student. The fact that I got into college at all and I got into a really good college was shocking.
And you didn't go, or did you go at all?
No, I got into Columbia and into the creative writing department because I had all this writing and stuff.
Yeah.
You know, and so I was accepted as a freshman, which actually they usually only take sophomores.
Oh.
So my writing was clearly okay.
Yeah.
But I just didn't go.
Yeah.
I just kept deferring. And then I was like, well, I'm all right. I'm fine. And I wish I had gone.
Yeah.
I honestly do.
Yeah. Yeah. Is that something that you think you'll push your kids more on, you know?
Yeah. At least try it.
Right.
You know,
right.
At least go.
Yeah.
I think it's important. And I think I really do feel like education is important.
Yeah.
And, you know, when I speak with writers about material, I would love to have a better education, you know? I'd love to, I don't know, whatever educated people do, quote the tragedies. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. Sometimes, whenever I'm around, like, really smart people, because I feel like I'm not, you know, like, I did really well on Celebrity Jeopardy. And granted, Celebrity Jeopardy is easier, but I still feel like, yeah, I'm Fredo, I'm smart. But when I'm around, like, I don't know, well-read people, and there's just like so much stuff they talk about that I just feel like, oh, I don't care about that.
Yeah, and then you use yeah, that's true.
You know.
It's true. There's stuff that I don't care about. But yeah, I guess I would only like to have all the knowledge so I could wield it during competitive situations.
That's it.
That's all, really.
Just really to, you know, to elevate myself, you know,
exactly.
At the expense of others.
Yeah.
That's right. That's what it's all about.
I just want to win.
Yeah. Now, as you're moving through your career and you start to make, you know, like I said, interesting choices that make the people that get 10% of what you make nervous and sweaty. I mean, how are you feeling about that when you're doing it? I mean, because there's got to be, whenever you push against the conventional wisdom of something like this, you're told you might be taking a hit here. You might be fucking it all up. And oftentimes they're right. You know what I mean? So you want to be brave, but they're also, but you know, like there's,
yeah,
you know, safety is safe for a reason.
Yeah. I would say I was definitely, you know, open for guidance.
Yeah.
And please give me all your constructive criticism, which basically meant like, tell me who to be. Tell me how to do this. Because, you know, like you say, I made a lot of interesting choices and I got a lot of attention for those things. I think in the beginning they were like, sure, go do these indies, like whatever.
Yeah.
Weirdo. You know? Go off, you little weirdo, do whatever.
Yeah.
Your career is going to be done soon anyway. And then it, like, I got a lot of attention for it. And so then I think I attracted the attention of people saying like, well, okay, we could make money with you, but we got to make sure we get this right. And so then from then on, there was a lot of like trying to make sure I could try to fit more into the mold I was supposed to be in or make choices that were, I don't know, were strategic or, and it just never really, wasn't really the right thing for me, I don't think.
Yeah. Were there people in your life that supported you in that in any way? Or did you feel kind of left to your own devices to push that?
I felt like they were right and I should like hide who I was until I got really successful and then I could be myself and make movies that I wanted to make and all that stuff. So that was sort of, I guess, the plan.
Yeah. Yeah.
I would hide it until it was too late.
Was there, you know, when you play when you're an actor and when you have a public persona outside of the acting, it is easy to kind of, you know, and this, it sounds like Lifetime movie, to lose yourself. But I mean, is that something that you did have to, I mean, not to be flip about it, but is that something that you did kind of have to deal with or still deal with, you know?
Yeah. Well, I feel like now I don't have to anymore. But at that time, the thing was always, if you do this, this might happen. If you can just control this or look a little bit more like this, or there was always this, like the carrot was always so much more enticing than me being myself. Mm-hmm. Like I hated myself. I didn't care. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Sort of like, I didn't have any sense that being myself was this great thing.
Oh, really?
No, I was like, oh, okay, great. I got us here. Now you guys take over and tell me exactly who to be, because clearly this isn't going to work.
Yeah, kind of
thing. I was on board really with how off-putting I was. So I was completely complicit in all of it. And then, you know, it just didn't work. It wasn't the right thing for me. And I ended up, you know, not really, my career ended up not flourishing as much.
Yeah.
I guess.
Can you remember an instance that sort of made that you, where you felt like, okay, this is not working. I have to be me, whoever that may be.
No, I mean, I think that's a more gradual realization, you know, as you're like struggling and not getting work. And then I would create work for myself, and it was never quite the work I really wanted to do. It was just like what I could get made.
Mm-hmm.
And then over time, I just sort of, you know, I had to step back. I wasn't working as much and really think about what the problem might be. And at the same time I started, I had gone to a Comic-Con, and I met all of, you know, I started meeting fans that had been, that had loved my work since I was a child. Mm-hmm. And I got to kind of witness firsthand all these people who, you know, basically I was with them in their lives, and they really enjoyed the parts I had played, and what they liked was this very specific individuality. And so that made me sort of feel more confident about the fact that, like, maybe I hadn't been wrong in the beginning.
Yeah.
Like, and maybe, because I've always thought that, you know, if you're really going to be an artist and call yourself an artist, then it always felt weird to me that there was this strategy to be considered, when what I did was basically like emotional impressionism or something, you know what I mean? I don't know. It didn't feel right anyway. And so
you mean just technique wise, like what, the way you were acting, or?
I just always felt like you should do the things that you just respond to emotionally.
Yeah.
For the kind of actor I am, that makes the most sense.
Right.
For me to choose something that I can't immediately identify with emotionally isn't right for me. So strategy and all that stuff, and really trying to be so analytical and critical of myself was the wrong thing to do. And I feel like I've figured that out now by virtue of really of playing Misty and finding this part and leaning into it, I guess.
Yeah. I mentioned technique. Did you take like classes? Like, do you rely on some technique in your acting, or is it just you learned on the job?
I learned as I went, and I watched other people, and I would take things from what they did.
Yeah.
And I sort of cobbled together a method for myself. It's all incredibly like cerebral. Well, it all takes place right here.
Yeah.
I don't even need a pen. And I think also I have the benefit of having done this since I was a child. Mm-hmm. So I still have this, I like that muscle of playing make-believe and fantasizing, mm-hmm. and all that stuff is still very active in me, because mm-hmm. I never stopped it, I guess.
Yeah. Can you describe your method in like?
Yeah. I mean, so when I read something and I love the part, or I love the movie, or I love the concept, I mean, it just like sits in my head, and I will think about it and ruminate over it and just sit with that character as I go through my day, and randomly come back and revisit the thoughts. And eventually, after like a couple of days or a week, like I have a really good feeling of knowing who that person is.
Mm-hmm. The character of Misty, she's so weird and so like, and it's like, yeah, it's damaged, but it's like, you don't even, I mean, I don't know, maybe we learn more about why she is, but she was that, you know, she's that way. She's a weird kid, you know, when she's.
I mean, we do see in the beginning, they put that scene in there where she watches an animal slowly drown and doesn't help it.
Oh, right. That's right.
And I always took that scene to indicate there's some issue here.
Yeah.
Like maybe she's a sociopath or,
yeah.
You know, I'm not a doctor. So that's just what I thought when I read and saw that. And I think we're very hesitant to put labels on Misty just because, you know, less fun.
Right. Well, and also it's like, you know, it's like the, there is now, and I'm not grousing about it. It just is. There's a sensitivity to mental illness that like, it's just, you can't just sort of make like, oh, this person is a sociopath, delicious, yeah. You know?
And then it's a little irresponsible of us to like present the sociopath and then be like, well, look how much fun she's having.
Yeah. But we, so, but that's
why I always hesitate to do it. Cause I'm like, I mean, it is a serious thing and we're not handling it very serious. Or I,
right.
Yeah.
But that's, you know, it's kind of like, I don't think we'll ever not be entertained by that. Like, I just think that it's like in our nature, it's the same way, you know, on my side of the street, comedians complaining about, oh, you can't make fun of this and you can't make fun of that. And it's always, and the one that I worry about is like, are we not going to be able to make fun of stupid people? Stupid people. Oh my God. They're so much fun.
I think you could always make fun of stupid people because stupid people don't know they're stupid.
On May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
Apes hunt humans. That is wrong.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10th. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Can't you tell my love's a crow?
Have you shot the second season of Yellow Jackets yet?
No.
No.
We start, I don't know why it took me so long to come up with that answer. We start at the end of August. So I was like, where am I?
Okay. Now you have little kids.
I do. And, I don't know if you heard my baby was crying.
No, I didn't. But I'm glad you ignored it.
Oh, yeah.
Like shut that door.
I'm sure Len.
Because you have what?
I have an 8-year-old son and an 8-month-old daughter.
Wow, that's a good spread though. I found my kids are 5 years apart, and I found it way better than, well, I mean, you know, it's still nice, but when they're little, oh, to have a kid that you don't like, to not have to worry about two kids killing themselves, you know, falling off of something.
And my 8-year-old will watch the baby for 20-minute time periods. All I have to do is buy him video games.
Nice.
I'm like, okay, she's in her little play area. Yeah. Play with her 20 minutes.
Yeah. How have they changed? I mean, you know, there's the obvious ones, but how have they changed your attitude towards show business? And did it surprise you the way that, because it has to change you. I mean, I just, you know, being a father, I just think, you know, it's got to change you.
Yeah. I mean, by the time I had my son, I didn't realize how much of a nihilist I was. Mm-hmm. Like, I've been through so much and been dealing with so much anxiety and this intense industry and like shit in my childhood that I just got to a place where I just didn't care about anything. Mm. Literally was making life decisions.
Yeah.
Just like, well, I'm sure it's fine. Like major life decisions where I'm like, I mean, that sounds fine.
Yeah.
Like, how bad could that be? And when I had my son, that unconditional love or whatever that is, just broke everything open. Yeah. And all of a sudden I cared about everything again, which was difficult.
Right.
But also how incredible that just feeling that amount of love can change everything.
Yeah. Well, what do you want to do going forward? I mean, do you want to work more? Do you want to work less? Do you want to, you know, become a sculptor?
I want to keep doing really interesting acting work.
Yeah.
I also produce and have, you know, some stuff of my own that I'll be pitching and whatever. I have packaging. I like package some stuff or whatever. And then I also want to, I'm hopefully, sorry, it makes me so uncomfortable to talk about what I want to do in the future because I feel like I'm setting myself up in case I fail.
Oh.
But anyway.
Well, sorry. It's part of this deal. I got to ask
it. It's fine.
It.
I know.
It's
I
the
know.
Law.
It's the law. But I do want to direct. So that is something I'm focusing on now.
Yeah, directing's fun. Telling people what to do. Make.
I feel like I'll really love it.
Yeah, yeah.
I just love finally getting to tell everyone what to do. Oh, you had that idea. Sorry, you got to do it my way. It's my time.
Well, it's also nice just because, you know, so much in a collaborative process, everybody's got an idea. But there's one person that's like just in this setting, this person gets the say. And you have to just go like, all right, well, I don't agree with what Steve's saying, but Steve is the guy, so we're going to do what Steve wants. And that's nice, especially when you have a sense of poise and like you know what you're doing.
Yeah, and I feel like me as Steve, I'll probably let everybody, you know, as much as I can, have a chance to do it their way. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Right.
We'll do it too. We'll do it Steve's way and we'll do it your way.
Or just do it your way and make Steve think that you're doing it his way.
Well, yeah, there's that too. But, you know.
Yeah. Well, the final part of this is the what have you learned? Is the what's the moral to the Christina Ricci story so far?
I guess these young kids are right and we need to understand more like what we have to offer in the world and feel really good about that and see what is valuable in ourselves. And I wish that I had more confidence and a sense of self when I was younger to have pursued the kind of work that I feel confident about pursuing now.
That's a good one. Yeah.
It took me a long time, but now that I'm older, I feel like, oh, wow. So I can trust my instincts and I can trust my taste. And in fact, it's the thing that sets me apart and is going to ultimately allow me to do more and more work. I always try to tell people, little people, all these little people. I always try to tell them.
The little ones that no one else can see.
Yeah. But, you know, to really find a thing that you do that no one else does and develop it.
Yeah, cool. Well, let me go through what you're doing here. You've got the popular Showtime series, Yellow Jackets. You were nominated for an Emmy for Outstanding Supporting Actress in a Drama Series.
I was.
Yeah, congratulations.
Thank you.
Was that your first Emmy?
No, I was nominated like 20 million years ago.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But this is really exciting.
Yeah. It's fun to go there, to go to those things for a reason, you know?
I'm really excited.
Even though you do kind of, you tell yourself you don't care, but you know, it's always like, oh, shit.
I'm really excited. And I think too, you know, coming at this time in my life, so like it actually is really meaningful to me and validating and moving.
Great.
Like I've been really moved by this time, which is embarrassing because I cry sometimes. And I hate that.
And also, you are going to be a series regular on the upcoming Netflix Tim Burton series Wednesday based on the Addams Family character.
Mm-hmm.
Jenna Ortega is playing Wednesday, according to this sheet of paper.
Exactly, she is.
Well, make sure that you know, you can't let that kid get out of hand. You got to let him know.
She's really good. Right. She's really, really good.
All right.
Yeah,
right.
And these young people today are very self-possessed and terrifying.
I know. Yeah, and they don't...
you don't want to tell them anything.
Yeah, and also you're just like another boring adult to them. They don't know who the
but
hell
she
you are.
Was really incredible. She's amazing. I think people are going to be really happy with this version.
Cool. And you've got the thriller Monstrous is out.
Yep.
Scary movie. Streaming. Yes. And you were voicing Harley Quinn in a new podcast series from WB and Spotify. Oh, that's cool. I to call them podcasts is weird to me. I always feel like I want to call them radio plays because that's kind of what they are.
That was my joke. They were like, well, in the scripted series, I was like, you mean radio?
Yeah. I've done some of them and I'm like, call it because they always, you know, and like Audible has their special like Audible original content. Like, and it's like, yeah, that's easy to say. That's right. Yeah, you know, that's what all the cool kids will be saying.
But I have to say, it was a really fun experience. And it's a really a really great take on Harley Quinn. And she finally has an origin story that's like, that makes sense for a woman. And it's really great, actually.
Awesome.
Yeah, and incredible actors.
You're great too, well. Christina. Thank you so much for taking the time.
Thank you for talking to me.
I know you're busy with a million different press things, so... And, and those kids, those crying babies,
those annoying kids.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you so much. And thank all of you out there for listening. And I'll be back next week with someone else to talk to.
The Three Questions with Andy Richter is a Team Coco production. It is produced by Sean Doherty and engineered by Rob Schulte. Additional engineering support by Eduardo Perez and Joanna Samuel. Executive produced by Joanna Solitaroff, Adam Sachs, and Jeff Ross. Talent booking by Paula Davis, Gina Batista, and Maddie Ogden. Research by Alyssa Grawl. Don't forget to rate and review and subscribe to The Three Questions with Andy Richter wherever you get your podcasts.
Can't you tell my love's a-growing? Can't you feel it ain't a-showing? Oh, you must be a-knowing.
This has been a Team Coco production in association with Earwolf.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.